Welcome to Ploughing Through Brexit, Farmers Guardian's Brexit podcast.
Hello and welcome to the latest Farmers Guardian Ploughing Through Brexit podcast with me, Will Evans.
And me, Abby Kay. Today we've got two great guests on the line to talk about Open Farm Sunday and why it will become more important than ever after Brexit. First up, we've got Jeremy Padfield, who's an arable and beef farmer from Somerset. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi.
And Ian Piggott, who's an arable farmer from Hertfordshire and also the founder of Leaf Open Farm Sunday. Hi, Ian.
Hi, Will. Hi, Abby. Hi, Jeremy.
Hello. Right, Ian, let's start with you then, seeing as this was all your idea in the first place. Perhaps you can briefly explain the concept and how the whole thing came about.
Okay. It's quite some time ago now. So the idea came about in sort of 2003-04. I was fortunate enough to be awarded a Nuffield Farming Scholarship. I was trying to find out how other countries around the world were including agriculture into the school curriculum. I'd worked away from farming for a number of years and noticed there was a huge disconnect between farmers and what people from towns and cities thought was happening on British farms. And there were some bad stories at the time. You know, we had swine fever and BSE. And I don't think British farming, if it reflected, was doing a particularly good job at actually telling the good news story that was out there. So I came across a small group of dairy farmers, actually, just outside Copenhagen in Denmark. And they were opening up on a given Sunday in August. And I just thought, do you know what? That's such a simple idea and something that we could all, as farmers up and down the country, get together and throw open our gates and actually show what a great story British farming is.
Mm. Do you think that disconnect has got wider in recent years, or do you think it's narrowing now?
We do a lot of school visits, this is a phrase that I use to try and explain how I find it at the moment, which is I think knowledge has improved, but understanding has worsened. And that sounds absolutely double Dutch. But, you know, we have a lot of children will turn up for a farm visit, and they'll understand, you know, about primary production and where different foods around the world are produced. But actually the nitty gritty of how that relates to their life, and that if they go to a supermarket or a restaurant, the foods that they're eating or buying are the foods that they've seen growing on the farm. They're not making those links anymore. So I think the work we need to do is actually that it's more important now than it's ever been.
Hmm. In those early days, Ian, when you first came up with the idea, how did you actually go about putting it into practice? What was the first step?
Well, I think that's a really good question, Will. And, it's all very well coming up with an idea, but actually putting it into motion is the bit that, you know, that's the bit that really matters. And so at the time, we were doing quite a lot of stuff, hosting visits for local people, local interest groups, and trying to do some community stuff. But I was also at that time, I was sitting on what was then, I think it was called the Leaf Communications Committee. So I was already involved with Leaf. And it just seemed to me that this was the perfect opportunity for Leaf to really use its expertise to bring farmers together to open up on a given day. And if my memory serves me right, back in 2006, you know, not everyone thought it was a good idea. And but back in 2006, we said, look, let's just run a pilot. And we thought we might get perhaps in 20 or 30 farms opening up. And I think we got over 150 farms opening in that year. And you know, so it very quickly grabbed the imagination of not just the farmers who were going to host, but also the farmers that were going to help that year.
Hmm. And why do you think that Open Farm Sunday will potentially become even more important after we leave the European Union? Or if we leave the European Union, maybe I should say.
I think that, you know, this is my opinion. This isn't Leaf's opinion. So, but in my opinion, I think that farming is going to, you know, we're going to have a new agriculture bill. I think without question, we're going to find that support is going to be cut, certainly for Pillar One. And perhaps, you know, with that support being delivered through public goods that we offer, it's really important that we make sure that the British public understand what those public goods are and understand, you know, the value that they can get from them, that it's not just something that appears out of nowhere, that it's, you know, it's created, the public goods are created by British farmers and growers up and down the UK. And I also, not wanting to sound negative, but I would be concerned that sterling could come under pressure, and with that will be some austerity. And in times of austerity, people will be inclined to buy cheaper produce. You know, if there's a cheaper competitor on the supermarket shelf. So we've got to do a really, really good piece, making sure people understand that they're not just buying that produce, they're supporting the British countryside and the wonderful landscapes that everyone enjoys. So that's why I think it's more important than ever.
Okay, let's bring you in, Jeremy. The media profile of agriculture and food seems to have skyrocketed since the referendum. There's been more broadcast and print coverage of things like standards and policy than I can ever really remember in my life, to be honest. Do you think this is a positive thing, and can Open Farm Sunday piggyback on it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think agriculture is at the most sort of pivotal position it's been for decades, with the agricultural bill and with Brexit, whichever way that goes. And I think it's not just for the older generation of farmers, but also, you know, we've got some very excited younger generation coming through, and it's a huge opportunity for us to embrace what's going on within the industry. And as Ian said, you know, there's this huge gulf of understanding between consumers and where their food comes from. And having an annual open day with Open Farm Sunday provides us with that opportunity to try and bridge that gap. And I think it's just not about where where the food comes from. It's all about the public good. It's what we do to protect our natural resources, or the environmental work that we do. And, you know, all of that can be embraced on one day of the year where everyone gets together and shares it with the consumers.
Yeah. What about the next generation, Jeremy? Ian mentioned children before. You host lots of school visits and local wildlife groups, as well as having many footpaths and bridleways over your farm where you put leaf information boards. Do you think there is an opportunity with farming in the limelight at the moment to educate children about where their food comes from?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I suppose my father first started having children out 30 years ago from the local school, and we've built upon that over the years. So I guess we probably around about 30, 35 local schools. They don't come every year, but we've got contacts with them. But I'd say over the last 18 months, we've had more inquiries from schools outside of our immediate area, even private schools as well, who want to come out onto the farm or want us to go into the schools to talk to them about, you know, certain things on the curriculum. In fact, you know, we've always generally looked at primary schools, but we're currently working with a local school partnership, which has got about 11 primaries, but also 5 secondaries. And they're actually now also looking about, which has always been very difficult to try and, you know, fit that into the secondary school curriculum. But they're looking at either us going in or they're bringing some students out. So that's really encouraging. And I think the benefit of it, I mean, through LEAF and FACE, Farming and Countryside Education, you know, farmers have got lots of resources. There's a CVAS accreditation scheme that farmers can go on to learn more, because, you know, that's always a bit of a dilemma. You know, have I got the right farm? Have I got the knowledge to teach, to talk to these children about, you know, what's relevant to their curriculum? The other thing to bear in mind is, as well as Open Farm Sunday, during the month of June, LEAF run Open Farm School Days, which you know, encourages farmers to open up to bring local schools out onto their farm.
Yeah, Ian, that's, you're involved with that, aren't you? You're doing a lot of that around Open Farm Sunday this year. Do you get a good response from the schools and the teachers as well? Are you seeing more interest from them in general?
Yeah, we are. And actually, the point that Jeremy just raised is we've made a conscious decision to really push into the secondary arena for the last 3 years. But just because I think that, you know, let's face it, we're doing it because we think that it's necessary that British farmers up and down the country communicate with the general public. But actually, what are we trying to do long term? Is we're trying to get people on our side as well. You know, we need to be up straightforward about this. And so if we can advise and make these young students, let's say from the ages of 12 to 18, make them critical thinkers, so that not everything they read in the media, be it digital or social or print, that they just take it as read. You know, they need to be able to question. And if there are times when perhaps there are negative stories about agriculture, they're not always true, that they can say, well, actually, you know, I don't agree with that. And so it's a way through the curriculum. There's currently there's quite a few avenues for farmers to really, you know, be able to make a really compelling case for schools to visit.
Do you find that the secondary school age kids, have they been more exposed to the plant-based diet propaganda and veganism and that kind of thing?
That's a really good question. I'm going to be really apologetic to anybody who's listening that's between the ages of sort of 13 and 16. But I do find that the primary age kids, children, they can have enormous knowledge and understanding. You talk to them about different meals they eat and they'll understand about where it's been produced, how it might have been processed. And those same children, 3 years later, it's as if someone's removed all that knowledge. And so we have to put it back in again. We've got to do a hard reset and start again. It's really interesting. We'll often do a show of hands about, you know, about different tastes and influences. You know, who is vegetarian, who prefers to eat organic, who prefers to eat a vegan diet, and. You know, quite often we'll get a huge show of hands and then we talk about the whys and the wherefores to, you know, because it's a really interesting debate. And so often the reasoning behind those decisions are really, really unfounded and misguided. And so that's an interesting decision. It's up to anybody to decide how and where they choose to their diets to be. It's not for me to tell them, you know, what's right and wrong. But it is good that we can have an open debate and they can leave a farm being more informed.
Yeah.
What kind of things have you done on your farm on Leaf Open Farm Sunday then over the years, Ian?
Oh my gosh. I think first and foremost, if you were a farmer thinking about opening up on Open Farm Sunday, and you weren't, you know, let's say for this year, which I'd encourage everyone to do, the first thing is to make people realize that Jeremy hosts huge events on his farm, and because we're in a really urban area, you know, we have a lot of visitors. But equally, you go to a lot of farms, you know, which maybe have 20, 30, 60, 70 visitors, and they're equally as effective. And the one thing is that you've got to keep change. You know, you can't do the same thing year in, year out, because it is, you know, it's a bit of work. And the last thing you want is for someone to turn up and say, well, it's the same as last year. So we've done stuff like, you know, there's the regular sort of lots of tractor and trailer rides. So we also get a lot of neighboring farmers to help. And that's, you can't do it on your own. You know, we might have as many as 30 farmers help out on a day, because not everyone wants to host. But in the same way that you know, people aren't coming to see the newest tractor or the biggest cow or the featherest chicken. People are coming to meet farmers. I think fundamentally that I don't know if Jeremy agrees with that, but I think that people want to have that opportunity to ask questions where they never normally get that opportunity otherwise. So we've done stuff like pig racing. 2 years ago, we had 800 people watching 5 pigs chase a bucket. we've done auctions. So we had an auctioneer going around auctioning animals and bales of straw and tractors and stuff, just giving people a chance to understand the value of things. So that was quite fun. We've done bread making. What else have we done? We had a sheep shearing demonstration, but I don't have any stock. So, you know, also, if you're an arable business and people think, oh, it'd be a bit boring, well, you don't need 1,000 sheep to make it interesting. You know, we get people to bring along a few sheep and talk about them, or a cow here and there. So lots of different things. But the most important ingredient to a successful event, I think, is farmers.
I mean, you mentioned that you're close to many large urban centres there, so you get a lot of people coming out of cities, but it doesn't have to be just people who farm near to towns and cities, doesn't it? It can literally be anywhere, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, last year I went to, I visited 5 different farms on Open Farm Sunday. I went to a dairy farm where they, you know, had a very small dairy herd. I went to the Royal Vet College. They have a large dairy herd. I went to a small holding, which was just brilliant that everyone was getting involved in interactive activities, but that was a 2-acre farm. And then I went to a 2000 acre farm. So lots and lots of, and these were, some of them were in on the edge of town, some were in the middle of nowhere. So it really doesn't matter where you are, and you don't have to, be planning a big event either, I don't think.
What about you, Jeremy? You got 5,000 visitors last year. I mean, that's just unbelievable numbers. It must take a serious amount of organising.
Yeah, it's interesting how numbers have increased over the years. A lot of that's thanks to social media, to be honest. I remember, as Ian said, 2006 was the first year, and I think we had around about 250, 300 people. To go up to 5,000, we've built it up over the years. And I think it's important for those that are listening that, and it has been mentioned before, that don't expect to open for the first year and you're going to have 5,000 people turn out through your gates. I think the best thing to do is actually Google a farm map, look at what resources you've got, what fields you've got close to the farm, and then actually think, do I run a small, have I got car parking facilities, etc., and do I want to run a small event? So it could be an invitation only up to sort of 20, 50 people. Mm-hmm. Do you want to run a medium-sized event, which could be sort of 300 to 500 people, or obviously the larger events, which are sort of 1,000+? And also, as Ian mentioned, you do need that help. We're very fortunate in having lots of neighbours and friends, and other industry reps and other local farmers that have come along, and it's actually been a really community-based effort, because those farmers come back year after year. They don't necessarily want to, we have offered it to them, hey, we'll come to you next year, but they often resist to say no, you carry on, that's fine, we'll turn up on the day. And it is important, there's always the diehard activities that work really well, could be tractor trailer rides, sort of working demonstrations, static machinery, but it does need, if you're doing it year after year, it does need to be fresh. So, you can add on different things. The auction one, Ian, that's a good one. We'll try that one either this year or next year. I like that one.
It was really good.
So things like tractor and trailer rides. So a couple of years ago, we thought, okay, what we'll do, we'll do the route with GPS-guided tractors. So basically, there was someone sitting in the seat, but the tractor drove itself. So it just helps. Another area that you can explain about, the innovation and the technology that goes on within the industry.
Mm. So once you've actually got the visitors there, then, is there an opportunity to talk to them about policy and standards and trade and all the things that are about to change with Brexit and affect farmers as we leave the EU? Or are the discussions, as you say, more focused on your practical day-to-day work?
That's an interesting one. I'd say more the day-to-day to work, because at the end of the day, we've got a lot of people that are coming on the farm to help out on the day, and they might not feel comfortable talking about some of those areas and policies and standards. So we tend to keep it on day-to-day. I think if you've got more smaller groups, in fact, another Ramblers group came out last week, and we had quite an in-depth conversation about Brexit and trade, and I think with smaller numbers, it works better. But I think the important thing is, I remember back in 2006, we started talking about, this is our plough and this is our drill. And then eventually you end up with a loaf of bread. So what we start with now is actually the supermarket shelf. And we talk about, this is a loaf of bread or a bottle of beer, and this is produced from malt and barley. And this is a sample of malt and barley. And then this is harvested by the combine after, and then you talk your way back through. So it's interesting how we've changed in terms of how we communicate the message, sort of 10, 12 years ago, just to make it more understandable, and try and avoid jargon, which is we're notorious for it. We talk about fertilizer, we talk about plant food, we don't talk about fertilizer, we talk about crop medicine and our crop doctor, who's our agronomist. Just so that people understand, and the reason why we apply nutrients to the soil and why we apply them with satellite imagery, it just helps to tell the story about how we balance food, farming and nature all together. Or another good one on a chemical one, I know we don't like doing it, but if you have a spray mist, just leave it there, because it's a good example showing, if we didn't use this crop medicine, this is what would happen.
Yeah, that's... That's a really good visual, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll ask this question of both of you. Do you get many people that come back year after year?
Yeah, very much so. In fact, my parents were at a funeral yesterday, and someone came up to them and said, when are you running Open Farm Sunday? We've been bringing our kids for the last 5 or 6 years. Some random person who's never met. And we often meet people for the first time, and they said, oh, you're the people that do the Open Farm Sunday. It's almost like it's a regular date in the calendar for most people now.
Mm. What about you, Ian?
Yeah, very much. And I think that it's because we can get a little bit sort of absorbed in putting a day on and everything goes with it. We forget actually how much enjoyment the visitors get from it. Just like Jeremy's just said, I met someone at the weekend who they remembered coming on our first event in 2006, and you know, they'd sort of gauged their child's sort of progress and understanding and interest in agriculture from 13 years ago. And yeah, it's always nice to have people, new visitors, and as Jeremy says, we're certainly seeing a lot more visitors coming from further afield now, and I think that's down to the hard work of Leaf as well, you know, making communicating that network and showing people where the nearest farms are to where they live so that people can visit different farms every year. And yeah, it's really encouraging that you know, Jeremy's gone from 200 to 5,000 visitors in 12 13 years. It's extraordinary, really.
What would you say to farmers who perhaps would like to get involved and can see the benefits, but they're not sure if the farm is suitable, Ian?
I think that every farm is suitable. I think it's one of those things that actually the messenger is the most important part of the piece. So if someone's resistant, if it's not your bag, it's not your bag. You know, and we all know that Open Farm Sunday should never be seen as a soapbox for someone to have an opportunity to moan to people. That's definitely what it isn't. But if you're not sure about whether you want to open, like Jeremy says, is go along, you know, this year and go and help at someone else's farm. That's the best way to perhaps dip your toe in the water, and also to perhaps cobble together with a group of farmers so that it sounds like Jeremy's been left holding the baby, but you know, where you get a group of farmers together and you say, well, look, you know, it's nice for people to visit a different farm. Why don't we all support, you know, you this year, and then next year we'll all go and support Matthew, you know, down the road, and the following year we'll go and support Sarah on her farm, and so it rotates around, and that keeps it fresh, takes a little bit of the effort away from the host farmer, and you know, and keeps it interesting for the visitors.
Jeremy, what sort of things do your neighbour farmers do then when you're hosting Open Farm Sunday? How do they help you?
It could be anything from car park stewarding through to actually running an event. We're a livestock farm, so we have animal areas, so there obviously needs to be people there guiding people through, and obviously making sure they all wash their hands as they go through. So there's loads, and it's really down. I mean, some of the old stalwarts who have been there since 2006, you know, they sort of take on a major role now in running one sort of section, which is great. So it just depends on, you know, whatever they feel comfortable with, and that is the most important thing. And I think the key thing is, if you are looking to open up, is have more people, you know, have more helpers there than you think, because as we're in a livestock protection area, you know, if it's silage making time, suddenly, you know, you get a phone call the night before, or can't come, you know, it can leave you in the lurch. So it's good for people to sort of log onto the website, find a farm that's opening up near them, and go along and offer their help on the day.
Absolutely. So before we start to wrap things up, have you ever had anything funny or unexpected happen during events? There must be some stories. Come on, Ian, you first.
I'm trying to think. I know we had about 30 members of the general public trying to corral three loose bantams a couple of years ago. That was quite funny. And then, of course, one of the bantams ran towards someone that didn't like poultry and ran the other direction. We've had lots of, you know, and you always get those great questions when you're on the tractor and trailer, the ones you're least expecting. I do remember earlier on, we had a very, and we'd have like a megaphone at one, and we had a young girl asked a question. Everything had gone quiet, and there was a little girl put her hand up and asked a question, and the father said, "Could I think my daughter's got a question for you?" To which she said, "So, do all farmers have hairy chests?"
That was brilliant.
How did you answer?
Probably like I'm now, wishing I hadn't said anything.
What about you, Jeremy? Have you got any corkers?
Well, just an interesting little story. Our children used to go to local primary school, and we used to send a lot of little postcards out in their school bags that went back to the whole school. And this family came from the next village, and coerced by the children, basically. And this was early on, probably 2008. And the dad came up to me at the end and said, "This has totally transformed my attitude to British farming." He said, "We're all vegetarian." And, I had no concept to the work and the ethics that go into what you do over the hedge. And you know what? That family now have become one of our best friends. And even though Mike's still a vegetarian, he actually heads up the barbecue on Open Farm Sunday.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Wow.
Absolutely fantastic.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that just says it all, really, doesn't it? Yeah, okay. So where can people who may be interested find out more about it all, Ian?
Well, if they go to the website www.farmsunday.org, tells you everything about where the different farms are opening. There's like an interactive map where you can bung in your postcode and find out a little bit about the farms closest to where you are, and it'll tell you what's going on, what activities they have, whether or not there'll be food on offer. And all I'd say is if you are going along, have a great time, but make sure you are going to a farm. So if it's been wet the night before, you know, put the right footwear on, and if it's going to be hot, put some sunscreen on.
Good advice there. Okay, chaps. Sadly, I think we'll have to leave it there for today. Thank you to both Ian and Jeremy for taking time out of your very busy schedules to talk to us today. And best of luck for Open Farm Sunday this year. I'm definitely going to try and get out to a farm near me.
And to everyone listening, thank you, and keep your eyes peeled for the next Farmers Guardian Ploughing Through Brexit podcast, which will be out next month. And in the meantime, you can keep up with all the daily political goings on and how they're affecting agriculture on Farmers Guardian's Brexit Hub at fginsight.com/Brexit.